life on purpose. And many of us, including myself, you know, we've asked questions like, you know, what's the purpose of life? I mean, why are we here? Why did God create all of this? You know, is there a reason? Is there a purpose? And I think a lot of us have, you know, asked these questions. I mean, hopefully, I mean, if usually most inquiring people do. And one thing that, you know, working in youth ministry, one thing that disturbs a lot of parents but encourages me is when teenagers begin to question things. When they begin to, you know, wonder, you know, is this relationship with God, is it real? You know, and it scares a lot of parents because they think, oh my goodness, my child is, you know, searching for other things. But it encourages me because it shows me that they're thinking. That they're not just blindly accepting something for themselves and they're beginning to search and to see. They're testing their faith. They're testing to see if, you know, is this thing for real or is something else out there real? And for anybody who truly goes on that journey finds out that this is real. I went through that journey myself when I went to college. It's like, you know, I've been in church all my life. This is all that I know. Let's try some other things out and see if it works. Let me tell you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. This is the real deal. This is the true thing. And but all of us question the purpose of life. Why are we here? And as I began to research it, I was looking through some quotes and stuff, and I found some interesting stuff out there about purpose. Because a lot of people don't know the purpose of life, but they say stuff anyway, you know, and trying to sound profound, but you look at it and you're like, what in the world are you saying anyway? So I found some of these. I was going to give you some real quotes on it that were really inspiring, but I found the other ones more funny. And so those are the ones I want to read you today. Some of them are about purpose of life. Some are just purpose in general. The first one is, when you dance, your purpose is not to get to a certain place on the floor, but is to enjoy each step along the way. That sounds great, doesn't it? But does it tell us anything about purpose? The purpose of our lives is to be happy. That's a very scary one because the pursuit of happiness can lead you to some bad places. Our prime purpose in life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. Okay. This is one of my favorites. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. Ponder that one a little while. That reminds me of my philosophy teacher in college. Anybody take philosophy? I've decided it's the most useless class that they offer. Because pretty much what I learned in my philosophy class is that you cannot prove or disprove anything, including your own existence. You cannot prove that you exist. That's what I learned from philosophy class. And it was interesting because my teacher, you have to be a certain type of person to be a philosophy teacher. And this guy, he was a shorter guy. Not making fun of short people because I understand the vertically challenged. But he was going bald, but he had to grow out the back of his hair down about here. All right. And he drank about 20 cups of coffee before he came to class because he was everywhere. And he'd be up there writing notes on the dry erase board, and you couldn't read anything he was writing. You could barely keep up with him. And he'd be up there writing stuff. And that's what I thought of when I read this quote. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. That tells you absolutely nothing. It gives you no thing. All right, the last one is kind of a funny one. It says, I went to the bookstore and asked the salesperson, says, where's the self-help section? She said, if she was to tell me, then it would defeat the purpose. Some of y'all catch that later on today. All right, so purpose. But we've all questioned the purpose of life. Why are we here? God, do you have a purpose? God, is this that you created, was that the plan? Because you can look at the world today and think, if this was God's plan, then he has a seriously flawed plan. And because, I mean, if you look around at life, you think, man, surely this isn't God's idea of perfection. And we've all questioned this. And see, God does have a plan. God does have a purpose. He has a reason that he made us all. He has an overall plan that he has for everybody, and he has a plan for you. We all have purpose in life. And see, here's the key. I'm going to give you the end of the sermon, then we'll go back and show you how I got there. Here's the deal. If you want to find true purpose in your life, then you need to find the purpose of God and hook up with His purpose. Then your life will have meaning. If you want to have purpose, if you want to have meaning to your life, you need to find out what God is doing, what He has got going on, and hook up with that. Then your life will have meaning. But where we find this answer, the purpose of life, we need to go to the one place that we can find it, and that's God's Word. Because if you want to find out the purpose of any invention, what do? You either go ask the dude that made it. What in the world were you thinking with this? What is this about? What does this do? Is that, or you grab the owner's manual and it tells you what it's supposed to do and how you're supposed to use it. It's the same thing with the Word of God. Is this is our owner's manual. This is where we find out the purpose of life, what we are called to do, what our purpose in life, what God is trying to do in this earth. Because what God made is He meant to make it the way He did. It's just us that messed it up. See, God gave us all free will. We all have the right to choose to follow God's plan or follow our own plan. And as we'll see here in the scripture here in a little bit, that it was sin that messed up the plan. But see, God already had provision because He knew we'd mess it up. And no matter what happens in our life, God already knows in advance what's going to happen. And He's already made provision for you to help make it right. And to keep pushing you forward and keep sending you in the right direction. So we need to go to the owner's manual. But I would venture to say that a lot of Christians have never read the entire Bible. And I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad, because I got to thinking about it, and I don't know that I've read the whole Bible. I've never purposely read through the entire Bible. All right? I mean, I've read Genesis through Deuteronomy. I read that earlier this year. I read through the New Testament every year, at least once a year. And, once you get into the prophets and the minor prophets and all of this stuff, that's where I kind of get confused if I've actually read it all or not. And not saying that those aren't important, because they are, but, sometimes, when you get into the book of, I was trying to think of some random book and I couldn't think of one. Habakkuk. Who knows what Habakkuk's about? I'm sure somebody does, but I need to go back and read it, right? Anyway, what was I talking about? But as you read the Bible, you can get God's overall plan. But it's so easy for those who do read the Bible a lot to get caught up into the little details of the story. And we start overanalyzing the little things in the story, and we miss the purpose of God. And so what I want to do today, I want us to step back. And I want us to look at an overview of God's Word and see what His plan and His purpose is for life. Because if you evaluate the individual stories in the Bible without knowing the overall purpose, then you'll misinterpret the Bible. You'll misinterpret some of the Scripture. You'll misinterpret some of the stories. If we know the purpose, then we know what God is doing. So we're going to step back and look at the Bible at an overall picture. As we see the purpose of life as God intended it, we can find our place and we can live a life of purpose. Let me say that again. As we see the purpose of life as God intended it, we can find our place and we can live a life of purpose. So many people are living aimless lives because they don't know their purpose. A lot of people think life's all about getting a job, making good money, raising kids, retiring on a beach somewhere one day. That's not the purpose of life. If that's the life you're trying to live, then you're missing out on a grand adventure that God wants to send you on. You can live that life if you want it, but your life will have very little meaning. Or God can take your life, your messed up life, and make it something amazing. And make it to where that God can use you and change lives all over the world. You might get to stay on the beach. You never know in that. So what I want to do today is I want to zoom in on certain parts of the Bible. We're going to kind of skip through and just see specific points in the Bible where God shows the purpose of life. And we're going to link it all together. And at the end, we're going to have a beautiful picture why God created everything, why God created the heavens and the earth and the animals and the people. Why did God create it all? We want to see that at the end of the message today. So let's get into this. How many of you brought your Bibles today? Ready to go? I brought the big Bible, so if y'all don't have yours, you can look at my Bible up here on the screen. All right? First place we got to look to is at creation in Genesis 1. Because in the beginning is where God set in motion the purpose of life. Like I said a while ago, He created the heavens and the earth and the animals and human beings. And let's zoom in on Genesis 1:28 real quick. And He says something very profound here. So then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it." Do you see the purpose yet? That's not it. But one thing that God wanted is He wanted to fill the earth. He wanted the earth to be full of people. Now that doesn't sound very profound, does it yet? We're getting there. Y'all need to track with me today because we're going to link some stuff together and it's all going to come together at the end, okay? But God wanted to fill the earth. There's over 6 billion people in the world today. I think we've effectively filled the earth. All right, I think we've accomplished that. All right. So we see in Genesis, God said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth." Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God. Sin came into the world. Life went on for a little while, and God looked down and said, "Man, this is not good. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wipe everybody out, and I'm going to start over. Noah, build an ark. Gather the animals, put them on the ark. You and your family get on." The flood happened. All right, flood's over. They hit dry ground. Listen to what God says. Genesis 9:1. He said, "Then God blessed Noah and said to him and his sons," He said, "be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." God wanted the earth to be full of people. He wanted the earth to be full. I'll show you why here in a second. All right, so they go along a little bit while longer, and he had to have the flood because of rebellion and sin in the life. And you know what happens after Noah? They get rebellious again and they sin. Does that sound like anything that we experience today? Sin and rebellion? Anyway, so let's zoom in on Genesis 11, where we see the Tower of Babel. All right, so all the people of the earth they're coming together, and they said, "I got a good idea. Let's build a city. Let's build this place where it's just beautiful and it's amazing, and we'll build a tower that reaches the heavens, and everybody will see our glory. Everybody will see how amazing we are and the inventions that we make." And so God had to come down and intervene because of rebellion and sin. He said this, "Come, let us go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That is why the city is called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with the different languages. In this way, He scattered them all over the world." See, they weren't scattering. They were all trying to be, "Look at us." Pride. And so God had to do something to scatter them all over the world. And this is where our different languages come from. This is where our different nations come, our different people groups come from, because of this right here. All right, so I think we've established that God wants to fill the earth with people. All right, let's go on to the next piece of the puzzle here. We see a guy named Abram. Later that he became Abraham, all right? And a lot of us know the story of Abraham, that God wanted to bless him and make a great nation out of him. Well, let's just read it. Genesis 12, 1-3. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land in which I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt.'" Listen to this. "And all of the families of the earth will be blessed through you." Here's the next piece of the puzzle. God wanted to fill the earth, and He wanted to bless all of the families of the earth. All of the families of the earth He wanted to bless. Why did He want to do that? Because He loves us. He loves His creation. He loves each and every person that He created. And He wants to bless them. Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about stuff. You know, sometimes that's part of the blessing. But there's so much more to blessing than money and stuff. God wants to bless you with health. God wants to bless you with family and friends. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to live out your purpose in life. See, each and every one of us have a purpose in life. And it distresses me to see when people don't like their job. Because we all have purpose in life. We all have callings in life. And when someone doesn't like their job, it shows me that they're not living out their purpose. They're not in the place where God made them to be. See, God wants us to enjoy our jobs. He wants us to enjoy our family. He wants us to enjoy our friends. To live a life of purpose. God wants to bless every family of the earth. And God had to remind Abraham several times of this promise. We see this again in Genesis 22. Trust me, I'm going somewhere this. Keep with me. Track with me. Genesis 22:17. He says, "Certainly I will bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all of the nations of the world will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." If we read this in the New King James translation, he says, "And through your seed, all of the nations of the world will be blessed." And through your seed. Do you know what the seed of Abraham is? Or should I say, do you know who the seed of Abraham is? It's Jesus Christ. We can see this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. It says that Jesus is the seed of Abraham. How does God want to bless us? Through his seed, Jesus Christ. See, he wants everybody to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Every single person. That is how he brings his blessing. That is how God brings his blessing. That's how he wants to bless all the nations of the earth, is salvation through Jesus Christ. That is his blessing to us. Another part of the puzzle there. What did Jesus do on the cross? Did he just die so that, you know, we can go to heaven? No. Jesus died for a whole lot more just so that we can go to heaven. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he defeated our enemy, Satan. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He defeated our enemy for us. And when we are in Christ, when we have relationship with him, when we are living for him, the enemy is defeated in our lives. He has no power over us. I don't think you heard me. I said Satan has no power over our lives when we're in Jesus Christ. So why does he have power in our lives? Because you let him. Because you're not living in your purpose. You don't know who you are in Christ. See, when we realize what happened at the cross, that he won back all power and authority, then he turned around and gave it to us. See, look in the garden. What did Jesus say? He said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it." We had the power in the garden. We had authority in the garden. Whatever we said in the garden, that's what happened. Anything that Adam named, that's what it was called. And see, when he sinned, he gave that power over to Satan. When Jesus died on the cross, he took it back. And when we're in Christ, he gives it to us. We have authority. He brought the authority back to where he wanted it, in his hands, and he's using us to reach the world. Are you starting to see the purpose of life? Are you starting to see what God is doing? He wants to fill the earth and then bless the earth through salvation in Jesus Christ, defeating our enemy. That's good news. You're not excited about it. That's okay. Be all right. All right, let's go over to Psalm 67. This is where we're going to link it all together. We're going to put it all together now. Psalm 67. We're going to see these elements in this scripture and find out, what is God's plan? Why did God create us? What is God doing in the earth today? Psalm 67. "May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth. May your saving power among the people everywhere." May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and guiding the people and the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us and people all over the world will fear him. Did that link together in your mind? He wants to bless through Jesus Christ in salvation, defeating our enemy, ruling in justice. That's the way God rules in justice. He blesses the righteous and he curses those who rebel. And notice what happens when this happens. He said, all the nations will praise you. All of the nations will praise you. What is God's plan for life? What is God doing? He wants all the nations to worship him. So let me share something with you. The Bible tells us in the Great Commission, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go make disciples of all nations. Do we see that in the world today? No. There are nations, peoples, people groups, languages that have never heard the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has never been uttered in certain languages. There are people that have zero access to the Bible. There are people out there that don't even have a church anywhere close to them. No one is telling them about Jesus. See, God wants to bless the world through salvation in Jesus Christ. But there's huge places in the world where the name of Jesus has never even been uttered. It's never even been uttered. There is no way that anybody can hear unless someone goes and tells them. In fact, the stats say that 60% of the world has been evangelized. 60%. That's over, just a little bit over half. There's still 40% of the world that doesn't know Jesus. They have no access to a Bible, no access to a church. They've never even heard the name of Jesus. And that's sad. Does that sound like God's plan yet? God has not fulfilled his plan yet. Let's look in Revelation chapter 7. See, what happens in Revelation? It was the Apostle John that wrote the book of Revelation. And how this came about was that they were trying to kill John. You know, they were persecuting the apostles and everything, and they're trying to kill John, and they couldn't kill the dude. I mean, he would not go down. They boiled him in oil, and he didn't die. And so the only way they could figure out how to get rid of this dude is they exiled him to an island. So just go out on this island. You'll be there by yourself. Just go and die, son. And so he was out on the island. But see, God still had a purpose. And God gave him a vision of the end. How it's going to end up. This is the book of Revelation. Is this vision that God gave to John. And I want you to listen to part of it. And this isn't even the end yet. This is after the Great Tribulation, and you know there still has to be the new heaven and new earth, Satan being judged, all that stuff still has to happen. But listen to this part of the revelation or the vision that John had. It's in Revelation chapter 7. He said, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too many to count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing in front of the throne, before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes. They held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces on the ground. They worshiped God and they sang, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. This is the vision of heaven. This is the vision of where we will be when we die. After it's all said and done, this is it. He said, every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue are going to be there. Now, we're not saying everybody from everywhere is going to, I'm not saying everybody's going to be saved, but there's going to be representation from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language in heaven. That is God's vision. That is God's purpose, is that He wants that to happen. See, He wants to bless us through salvation, defeat our enemy. And then because of that, because of the joy inside of people, because of their salvation, because their enemy has been judged, they're going to begin to worship God and bring glory to Him. They're going to start saying, salvation comes from You, God. God, we love You. And that's what God wants, is He wants the whole world to worship Him. He wants the whole world to bring Him glory. And let me tell you something, the end will not happen until that takes place. That is God's purpose. That is God's plan. All right, so let's step back and look at this. God wants every family to be blessed with salvation, judging of the enemy, and for them to worship Him. Now let me ask you something. What's the Bible about? Is the Bible about you? Nope. Let me tell you what the Bible is. The Bible is His story about His glory. The Bible is His story about His glory. See, a lot of people in America think the Bible is about them. What can I get from God? God, You want to bless me, so God, give me stuff. God did it. And they think the Bible is about them. The Bible is not about you. The Bible is not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross and what He wants to do in this earth. That's what the Bible's about. See, the Bible is for us to learn about God. If we don't have God's Word, how are we going to get to know God? How are we going to know what God is like? How are we going to know what God is trying to do? How are we going to know God's purpose? We don't. Guys, we got to get into the Word of God. If you want to live a life of purpose, you have to be in the Word of God. You have to be seeking the heart of God and what He is doing. So God is trying to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Let me ask you this. What does that mean for you? Where do you fit in His purpose? Because like I said earlier, we all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have passions in our life, and they all come from God. God intended you to use those things, your gifts, your talents, your passions, to fit into His purpose. See, there's so many people that use their gifts and their talents and their passions for themselves, for their own personal gain. And you know what? You're not living your purpose. See, God didn't want you to go to college and get an education, to become a doctor so that you can make money. God did it so that you can bring salvation to the nations. Are you going to make money? Probably. But see, God wants you to use your gifts and your talents and your passions for Him and His purpose. My question to you is, are you fitting in to God's purpose? If you're not fitting into what God is doing, then you're living for yourself and you're being selfish. Can I step on some toes today? Because I've already stepped on my own. Because I've had to reevaluate my life. Because, you know, I'm a youth pastor. I get up and I share the gospel every week. I've seen people saved. I'm doing my purpose, right? Nope. What am I doing to reach the nations? What am I doing for those people halfway around the world that has never heard the name of Jesus? See, in America, we have a church on every corner. You have all of the access to the gospel that you could ever imagine right here in America. 95% of all money that comes to the church goes to evangelize America, the most evangelized nation in the world. 5% goes outside of this nation. 5% of all money given to the church goes outside of this nation to evangelize the world. Do we see something wrong here? Guys, we have access. I'm not saying that it's not important what we do here. It's vital what we do here. And reaching our community and reaching around in the state of Arkansas and the missions that we support and all of that is great. A lot of people say, I give to church, I give to missions. Okay, what are you doing besides giving money to reach the nations? Because it's great, you know, people have to have money. See, a lot of people want to say that, well, reaching the nations, the Great Commission is meant for the missionaries. It's for those who were supposed to go live in other countries, and that's what the Great Commission's about, and we're supposed to give money to them. That's not right. Because He called us all, every single one of us, to go and make disciples of all nations. It's my responsibility, it's your responsibility, it's the missionaries' responsibility, it's all of us. What are you doing to fit into the purpose of God? What are you doing? A lot of people will say, well, I'm saved and I worship God. Isn't that enough? I'm doing my part to bring glory to God. No, God said He wants the nations to worship Him. He wants the nations. He wants every family on earth to worship Him, not just you. If you think that's all you got to do is worship God yourself, then you're missing out. You're missing out on your purpose in life. What are we going to do about the nations? We need to find our place in His story. See, life is not about you. It's not about your gift. It's not about your talent. It's not about what you can do. It's about His story and how I can hook up into His story and help fulfill His purpose. See, when you're fulfilling God's purpose, that's when the blessing comes. Remember Matthew 6? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. See, if you're all the time focused on you and paying your bills and your problems and you, then you're not seeking God and His kingdom. See, here's the deal. When we devote our lives to His purpose, to what He is doing, then He'll take care of you. When we devote our lives to do His purpose, then He will make sure you're taken care of. It's true anyway. He wants the nations to worship Him. He wants everybody to have access to the gospel. He wants everybody to be able to hear about Jesus Christ. That is His purpose in life. So let's look at this. How do we get from Psalm 67, where they're talking about blessing, salvation, justice, the nations praising Him, to the end result of having every single nation, people, language in heaven worshiping God? How do we get from here to here? It's where we're living right now because we haven't reached the end yet. Not all the nations are reached. How do we get there? How are we going to make it? Jesus gives us a hint in Matthew 16. He says this. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Upon this rock, the salvation, the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord, this is what I'm going to build my church on. And the powers of hell will not conquer it. So how are we going to reach this goal? It's the church. It is the local church that's going to make this happen. And I'm not talking about the 501c3 nonprofit organization. I'm talking about the people of God. The body of believers is what's going to make this happen. It's not the missionaries that's going to make it happen. It's the body of Christ. Because you can't just send one person out and think the gospel is going to make it. It takes all of us. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to have to pack up and go to Africa. I'm not saying we're all going to live in mud huts. I'm not saying that. But there's different ways that we can support what is going on in the mission field. Whether we go, whether we pray, whether we give, whether we enable other people to go, whatever it is. We're going to talk about this in the next few weeks, about what this looks like. How you personally, not just giving money to the church and let the church do the missions. I'm talking about you personally. How can you be involved in reaching the nations? What can you personally do to make sure that someone halfway across the world that you will probably never meet will hear the name of Jesus? See, it's everybody's calling. It's everybody's purpose. You can't get out of it because that's what God's purpose is. And if you're going to be a Christ follower, then you need to be about the Father's business. You need to be about what God's about. Because if you're not about what God's about, then you're working against Him. But it's going to be the local church that makes this happen. Let me say this. The local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Some of you are thinking, man, the world's in trouble. If you look at a lot of churches, they're all about, you do it our way or it's the highway. A lot of people have been hurt by the church. A lot of people will never step foot in the church because of what a pastor said to them or because of the way someone looked at them. And I understand that. But when the church gets the vision of what God's purpose is, then the church is going to step up and make sure that the gospel goes out. The church is going to make it happen. It's the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we love you so much. Thank you for giving us purpose. Thank you for, God, not just throwing us out here on earth and just say good luck. God, but you have a plan and you have a purpose for our life. You have a plan and a purpose for all humanity. God, that all the nations of the world will worship you. God, I just pray that you just help us to reevaluate our lives. God, show us where we fit into your story. God, this story is not about us. It's about you and what you are doing. God, show us our part in the grand scheme. God, I just pray that we put aside our pride. God, we put aside our greed, our selfishness, God, and get on the task of evangelizing the world. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing. God, thank you for using us as flawed people. God, we know that as we step out in faith and serve you, God, that it's not just our efforts, God, but you add your blessing and it's explosive to what you can do with our little life. Father, we thank you so much for that, God. And just thank you, Lord, as we walk out of these doors. God, we go out as the church. We go out as the victorious church. God, living in victory through Christ Jesus. God, I just pray that when people look at our lives, God, that they see you and they will bring glory to you. God, use us this week, God, to reach a lost person. God, use us this week to touch somebody who's been hurt by the church. God, use us this week to be salt and light wherever you need us. Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You guys are dismissed.